Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. We are starting Genesis chapter 20. Very low expectations tonight, Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. And we won't get into the chapter at all, but I do want to talk about Mamre. Abram spent time in Hebron. He lived then in Mamre, which is about 2.5 miles north of the city of Hebron, and then he's going to buy to the east, he's going to buy a cave in a field. He's going to buy a field with a cave in it where he's going to eventually bury Sarah, and then all the family's going to be back here. Now, buried there, including, you know, Jacob is going to be brought back and buried there, and the Tomb of the Patriarchs. I'll show you several things about this tonight. I look on the notes here, first of all, on the first page, and I've only got that first verse, right? I'm going to show you some pictures tonight. Once again, I hope you like this. I didn't take these pictures. I've never been to Mamre. I've never been to Hebron. I would like to have seen the Tomb of the Patriarchs. Herod had built a building around it, so the stones around the Tomb of the Patriarchs, the stones match the stones of the Temple Mount, and then there's Mamre. And I'm very impressed. The reason I'm sharing this with you is I did not realize this. You kind of have a general, we know where Hebron's at, we know where the Tomb of the Patriarchs is at, but Mamre is just, you know, about just north, is, you know, just kind of somewhere up there. I'm going to show you tonight something I thought was totally amazing. And so we'll see. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, after the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. This actually starts in chapter 18 when Abram is camped at Mamre by the oaks of Mamre, and the Lord appears to him. Now, when it says the Lord appears to him, it means the Lord, you know, appeared to him. He talked to him. He had lunch with him. The angels came with him. So this is the Lord. When we consider Mamre, the Lord stood there and talked with Abraham, had lunch with Abraham, prophesied or told him that a year from now Sarah will have a child. Anyway, chapter 20 then begins. You got chapter 18 with the Lord and Abram at Mamre. And then, you know, they journey down chapter 19 into Sodom. They have the whole account of Sodom and the cave situation as that ends. Then chapter 20 returns back to where chapter 18 was. And it says, from there, Abram journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned at Gerar. Now, only thing we're looking at tonight is right there, from there. Okay, from where? From Mamre, because I just came across this and I thought, my gosh, you have to see this. Now, point one, the oaks of Mamre are mentioned in chapter 18, verse 1. The word for oaks is the word Elon, or we may say Elon, considering the Doge event, E-L-O-W-N. If you look down there, halfway down the page, I've got chapter Genesis 18, verse 1. I've got that out in the Hebrew, and you can see it's the box that is in the square, the word is in the square. There's a bet in front of it, because that would translate by or beside or in. And then it's transliterated as Be-Elana. And so that is like saying by the tree or by the oaks, and it would be plural. So it's plural oaks. That word, you can see it in that box that I've got there typed out, but I've also got the same thing up at the top page. The word Elon is how it's pronounced, means oak. It can also be the terebinth tree. It refers to strong trees that grow well. Often large, strong trees or groves that last a long time. So these are trees, that would be large enough to be there for quite a time, and it would serve as a point of reference for example, the last line, these Elon often marked sacred sites, meeting places, or burial grounds. And this is used, the word Elon or Elon comes up several times. What I've got here going to show you, these verses coming up are going to be references to Mamre, which we're talking about. Sometimes the word Elon, referring to the tree, is there. We begin, point two, Genesis 13:18. The first time we saw this was in Genesis 13:18, when Abram moved there after they separated from Lot. And there's the verse, so Abram, after Lot went to Sodom, or down to the plain, so Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to God. Take note of that phrase, there he built an altar to God. Now I tell you, in my mind, I figure, you know, he's going to come by somewhere and he's going to stop one night and say, oh, I'm going to have a time of prayer. And he puts together some stones and builds a little altar and maybe has a sacrifice, has a, you know, little daily devotion there. And, you know, the chance of finding that little pile of stones, you know, it's long gone. But it's not. It's not. And I did not know this. And you don't have to agree with about what you're going to see, but you should consider this. So he moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks, these large trees, a grove, big, long, strong trees of Mamre. We know where that's at. It's just north of Hebron, which are at Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. That's in chapter 13, verse 18, after they part from Lot. Genesis 14, verse 13. Abram lived here when Lot was captured by the four kings. So when they come and tell Abram, your nephew Lot has been captured, he's living at Mamre by the trees, by the oaks of Mamre. Then that's chapter 14, verse 13 says, then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and Aner, these are allies of Abram. And so these are allies that live here, own land. They're Hittites, they're Amorites, they're Canaanites. Now this is before they'd completely gone off the deep end. This would be like Americans in 1850 compared to Americans in 2050. I thought that was a judged nation that was all wiped out by God. Well, that's America 2050, depending on how things develop. Different than the 18. Everybody's got a sin nature, but the people of the 1850s were building a society. They had morals. They were living in reality. They're going to be different than, so I'm projecting that to 2050. I'm not just going to nail you today, but you can make your own decisions. Look at what our culture's doing today and the things that they want to be normal. That's the difference here, because you say, well, they are Canaanites, they are Amorites, they are Hittites. I thought they were judged by God. God said so. They've got 400 years before their sin reaches its fullness. So these guys would be good guys. They would be in tune with reality. They may even worship Yahweh. It appears Melchizedek did. Okay, nonetheless, Abram was living there in chapter 14. Now chapter 18, where the Lord appears to him. So from chapter 13, 14, 18, Abram is living here at Mamre by the oaks of Mamre, where he's built an altar and where the Lord appeared to him. Sodom and Gomorrah takes place in chapter 19. Lot ends up in a cave. And then chapter 20, verse 1 begins from there. And it doesn't tell you where, but the assumption is from Mamre. From Mamre, Abram journeyed toward the territory of the Negev. Now, okay, we're going to pick that story up next week. But as we continue, I want to continue to show you some things. Point D, Genesis 23, verse 17 and 19. Mamre and the trees of Mamre are mentioned again. A different word is used at this time. The field belonging, in chapter 23, verse 17, 18, 19, the field belonging to Ephron, located east of Mamre, with a cave and a grove of oaks, or, and that is Elon, that was purchased by Abram. to bury Sarah. So the field, and here's the verse. The verse actually has the word etz, which means tree. And I've got that down there in the verse. And this is when he purchases the field. And it says to be east. Now, this is going to be a problem for me in a moment. By the end of class, because this is 2.5 miles north. Mamre is 2.5 miles north of Hebron. The cave that he buys, or the field that he buys for the cave that he's going to bury Sarah, where Isaac and Ishmael will bury Abram, where Isaac will be buried, and Jacob's going to come and be buried, is to the east. As we look at it, it's really right about here. I'll show you that. And so I don't know what to do with that translation or the Google Maps. I'm not going to say Google Maps overrides Scripture, but here we go. Here it is. So the field of Ephron in Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was there in it, and all the trees, and that's the different word, that's etz, meaning tree, wood, timber. And this is the word trees that is used in Genesis 19 times in chapters 1, 2, and 3. So without doing a thorough check, it seems like there was trees in the garden, there was fruit on the trees, was good to eat, there's a tree that was good to look at, the tree of knowledge of life, or tree of knowledge, tree of life, but also the tree of knowledge. That's all in chapter 1, 2, and 3. So this is the same word. He bought this cave with trees in it, the field with the cave and trees that were in the field throughout its whole area. So it's a grove of trees, was made over to Abram as a possession. So he's going to buy this in the presence of the Hittite. So he's going to go to the city gates, probably sit down, make a deal with him. Before all who went, well, it says right here, before all who went in at the gate of the city. So he's in the gate of the city making a deal, sitting in one of those chambers. After this, Abram buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abram as property for a burying place by the Hittites. So it says that several times he purchased this land east of Mamre with all the trees. It's a field with a cave for burial. That is that verse. Genesis 25:9. These are now some verses that are going to continue to mention Mamre. I just want to read through and let you see how familiar. If Abram lived anywhere, if he had a home, it's Mamre. Genesis 25:9. Isaac and Ishmael buried their father Abram east of Mamre in the cave of Machpelah, and you can read that right there. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field that Abram purchased from the Hittites. There Abram was buried with Sarah, his wife. And after the death of Abram, God blessed Isaac, his son, and Isaac settled in Beer Lahai Roy. Now that word, Beer Lahai Roy, you know this, or you're even familiar, it means the well of the living one who sees me. Which, if you turn the page, that's where Hagar met the Lord, and he told her to go back to Sarah. Now, Isaac moves there. Isaac is going to end up back living here in Mamre, but right now, just like his father, he's moving around, possibly moving his herds around for grazing purposes. Then in chapter 24, 62, and chapter 25, 11, Isaac is going to live here in Beer Lahai, where the Lord sees, the well where the Lord sees. Genesis 35, 27, Isaac lived at Mamre. Jacob visited Isaac at Mamre and buried him there. So Jacob, after having been gone to Padan Aram up in Syria, he's going to return with all of his sons and all of his crops, or all of his herds. And then at some point, he's going to go back to Mamre to visit dad, Isaac. But by that time, Isaac's an old man, and he's going to be there apparently when he dies. Well, here's the verse. Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abram and Isaac had sojourned. So in other words, that's home base. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac breathed his last, and he died, and was gathered to his people, old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now what's interesting is Abram is buried there in the cave by Isaac and his brother Ishmael. They both came together, so you've got the Israelites and what we'd say, the Arabs, you know, today we call them Muslims, coming together and burying. Now again, not all Arabs are Muslims. That would be a religion. But you've got Isaac and Ishmael coming together and burying Abram. Now here you've got Jacob and Esau. So that's Mamre once again. Genesis 49:30. Jacob is now in Egypt, but he wants his sons to make a commitment that when he dies, they're going to take him back to Mamre. Jacob, where he buried his father Isaac, now is with his sons, Joseph particularly, in Egypt. But he says, when I die, bring me back here to Mamre. And this is Genesis 49:30. Then he commanded them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field at Machpelah, to the east of Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abram bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. And that's, so then, of course, he dies, and Genesis 50 records Jacob's burial. You got a big procession of all of a big parade from Egypt coming up through, you know, the land, the Negev, and, you know, cross the Nile, cross the Negev up to Mamre, and that's where Jacob's buried, in the cave of Machpelah, where the patriarchs are buried. Genesis 50:13, it says, for his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field at Machpelah to the east of Mamre, which Abram bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. Okay, so those are reference verses referring to Mamre. And you can see it's a busy place. Then we're going to go now, and we've already looked at the verses that refer to the Elon or the Elon, the oaks at Mamre. There's trees out here in this field with the cave also. There's a grove of trees. But we're going to take a look at this word, just this oak, or Elon or A-lon, if we transliterate it, where it's else is used in the Bible. So here we go, page 2, point I, other verses with the word oak in it. Now again, this sounds, could get a little monotonous, but it doesn't take that long, so, you know, just bear with me, be patient, get your phone out, scroll through, look at something on social media while I'm doing this, and then come back later when we get to the pictures. Or you may find this interesting. Other verses with oak or Elon in it. There was an oak or Elon at Morah in Genesis 12:6. So we've already heard when Abram came in, remember, he leaves Ur of the Chaldeans and comes down and stops at Shechem. Then when he comes first land, and there's an oak there. Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem to the oak, and that's the same word, Elon, of Morah. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And so at Shechem, if you remember that, there's an oak there, which is also one of the things the oaks do. They're large trees, they're enduring trees, and they can serve as a marker. You know, it's like this mountain, this hill, this valley, this oak, or this Elon. But they also serve as sanctuaries, where that may be where they build an altar. And Abraham is going to be doing that himself. Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem to the oak of Morah. At that time, the Canaanites were there. If you turn the page, this place is referred to by, when we know where this place is at. We know where this oak of Morah is at. It's at Shechem. It's between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. It's where Abram built an altar. It's referred to by Moses. You go all the way through Genesis and Exodus, and then Moses is in the wilderness, Leviticus and Numbers, and then through Deuteronomy as he's over at, again, where Sodom had been, Shittim, over on the other side of the Jordan River in the land of Jordan, or looking at Moab. He's looking across at the land and he's saying, when you get there, here's what you're looking for. You're looking for these sites. And this is one of the sites they're looking for is this right here, Deuteronomy 11. And when the Lord your God, he tells the Israelites, particularly Joshua, brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of, you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. And there is a hill rising this way, and you can see it. And there's a hill rising this way. It's not like a mountain, but it's, you know, it's a hill. And there's a valley. In fact, in the picture that you see right there, those buildings are going up Mount Ebal. And if you turn just a little bit, you can see Mount Gerizim. I've got some other pictures of that, but I wasn't interested in that tonight. But anyway, they're going to be, that's where Joshua's going to have them read the curses, the blessings and the curses when he gets there. And then he says, are they not beyond the Jordan, west of the road towards the going down of the sun, in the land of the Canaanites, who live in the Arabah, up opposite Gilgal, beside the Oak of Morah? So that Oak of Morah that was there in 2000 BC, because that's where Abram was and is referred to, it's now a marker 400 years, 600 years later for Moses saying it's over there. Now, if they've replanted the Oak of Morah or if it's a grove of trees, it's still there. Now, that picture that I've got there, that I took these pictures, and this is from one of my sites. But there would have been somewhere in that area there, that valley between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, there would have been a grove of trees and the oaks of Morah. Just like the oaks of Mamre, these are the oaks of Morah. What you see right there is the remains of a temple. It's called something about Bear. It's got something to do with the law or the covenant. It's referred to in the book of Judges. And that stone that is standing there, it's a standing stone. It's been broken. But that standing stone is the covenant stone that deals with Israel that was stood up in the days of the Judges at this place. And it was a fortified, it was a fortress. It was almost like a castle. It was a temple castle. One of the judges attacked it, tried to burn it down, and we'll read about it later. Someone threw a stone over the wall, crushed his head there. But that is the place right there, a place of worship. Now, other places this word Elon is used is in Judges 4:11. Now, Heber the Kenite had separated from the Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and he pitched his tent as far away as the oak of Zaananim, which is near Kadesh. But there again, just that word used for another place that's located. Turn the page. Now, we're back to that pillar. Now you can see better here. You can see the same fortress in the background. You can see that standing stone on page 4. In front of the building, that's the covenant stone. And in the background, that's Mount Ebal in the background. Oh, there's the name, the temple of Baal Berith. And Baal Berith, it refers to law. So it's the God of the covenant at Shechem. Now again, that was originally a place where Moses had them come, take the vows of the covenant. It's the place of Berith, the covenant. But it eventually morphed into a place of Baal worship. I mean, it's Israelites collapsing into pagan worship. But once again, you can see Mount Ebal in the background. You can see the valley. And right up to the other side over there would be Mount Gerizim. And this is where Judges chapter 9, verse 6 takes place. All the leaders of Shechem, that's where that picture's taken place, came together, and all Beth Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar at Shechem. Now, the pillar at Shechem is what you see there in that picture. That's where Abimelech was made king by the Israelites in the book of Judges before there were kings. And the oak that is mentioned there, that's the same word, the Elon, that Abram had come to the oak at it was at Shechem there, and Moses referred to it, the oak of Morah, which was the oak that Abram had in Shechem, and now it's still there in the book of Judges. And that pillar remains, and the building, there's no doubt you can excavate the building they have, and it's a fortress, it's a palace, it's a temple. Okay, now 1 Samuel 10:3, just one more verse here. This is a different location, it's at Tabor, and this is where Samuel prophesies to Saul that he's going to become king, that he's going to be a changed man, and he's going to go and he's going to follow these directions. He's just using the oak of Tabor as a direction, the large oak at Tabor. He says to him, then you shall go on from there further and come to the oak of Tabor, and that is, again, the word, Elon or Elon. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, if they're going up for a sacrifice, another carrying a skin of wine. So they're bringing material for sacrifice, and that's where Samuel's going to end up prophesying. Okay, back to our story. I just wanted to show you those. There's some oaks, Elons around. They're large oak trees. They're usually marking holy sites. They're markers for travelers. There's a sanctuary. They can be used at a gravestone. Now, page 5. The oaks of Mamre in Genesis 13, 18, 14, 13, and 18, 1. Now we're zooming back to three verses that talk about the oaks, the Elon at Mamre, which is 2.5 miles north of Hebron in Abraham's day. Here's a Google map. Here's a picture. There it says Hebron. That's right where it kind of says Hebron. Again, it's much better if you don't have a photocopy on a copy machine. Mamre is circled right there. I'm going to show you why that's circled. You can visit it today. It's 2.5 miles from the original place of Hebron, so it's outside of a 2000 BC, but it's a location. The Tomb of the Patriarchs, which I've got to believe is the right location because Herod himself had built around this Tomb of the Patriarchs, and it's honored by Jews, and it's honored by Muslims, Islam, because they both trace their history from Abraham. So many times you're going to find an Israeli site that is going to be bulldozed, covered up, built over by Muslims or people that are not Israel. But when you find a site that goes back to Abraham, Abram or Ishmael, the Muslims will honor it. So you get back to Genesis, where we're at here, the site will be recognized by Jews. It'll be recognized by Christians because we're following the Old Testament, and it'll be recognized by Muslims, and so it's not going anywhere. If you burn it down, you bulldoze it, you're going to offend the Jews, but the Muslims won't do it because it'll offend the Muslims if the Christians bulldozed it. But the Christians aren't going to bulldoze it because that's a site that confirms their faith. And so no one's going to, who's going to come in and bulldoze it? No one. Okay. Now I have to show you this to be fair to everyone. I'm going to show you screenshots. Most of these are screenshots from videos. And one video is by Joel Drommer, a biblical archaeologist with a YouTube channel called Expedition Bible. I would, after I show you this, if you want to hear it, see it from a professional, I would encourage you to watch Joel's video. And there you can see it right there. If I get this PDF online, you just click on it and it'll take you right there. There's another one called Holy Land Site that's going to show you the same exact site, the same exact information, but it's a different tour guide showing you the same material. You're going to get a few different pictures. They're both good. I really like Joel's. He's got some amazing videos. If you ever watch Expedition Bible, it's top notch. This guy is excavating. Now, he doesn't tell you. One thing, I was going through several of his, just been watching him. But one of the things, he's got Sodom down in the old place. And he does, I think, I think he knows more than me, but I don't think he knows as much as Steve Collins and those guys that excavated what we talked about as being Sodom. But nonetheless, that's where I'm getting this information. Turn the page, please. Now, the best place to look, probably, first of all, is go to page 7. And I'm looking at this picture right here. I've already got it labeled. I was really rushing through this, trying to get this ready. And this is, I want you to understand this. This place is in the middle of what we would say Hebron today, because Hebron has expanded out. And you've got this place, I'm going to draw it like this, I think. This I'll probably have to redraw it. And it looks like a construction site in the middle of a city. Like if you've ever gone to a city, even Des Moines, and you got building, busy place, streets and everything, and all of a sudden they're demolishing these buildings because they're going to put up a new hospital. And so it's building, activity. Then you come to this two-block area, three-block area, or whatever, and it's just like yellow tape and barriers, and there's nothing there. You just walk by this empty lot. There may be trash blowing across it, and then you get back to the city. And in this picture right here, there is buildings of today's Hebron going every direction. It's just in the middle of the city. And it's just there. You can see it. It's just there. Now, turn back to page 6, and you can look at it this way right here. And you just march right into it. But what you see here, no one's messing with it. There's a frame going around the outside. You can see the hole. You can see all kinds of stones. But they went through there and they excavated down through over the years. And the top layer that they had was Islamic. And they removed or identified the Islamic things. And they could identify it because of the pottery, the lampstands. It matches. And, you know, coins, different things. And then they came to this Byzantine, which was Constantine in 325, 326. See, this would be 650. The Muslims are honoring this place in 650. They're building not businesses, not homes, but a holy site over this. Once they moved that, they found that there's a church there. A church that the Muslims, of course, had moved out of the way, but they didn't move out the foundation. They just built over it. And over that, you're going to come to a Jewish site that was built up by Herod, we'll just say 20 BC. You're going to have a Jewish site with walls from 20 BC honoring this. And the walls that are here match the temple walls that Herod built, that you can see, and what's at the tomb of the patriarchs at Machpelah. So this was honored by Herod. Not that Herod was a great Jew, because he's an Edomite, but he was king of the Jews, and of course he wants to do anything. He went out of his way. It's interesting to read Josephus and other histories how much Herod did to please the Jews, because he wanted to be their king. What do I need to do to be your king and not have to fight you all the time? Herod went out of his way. Everything he could do. Now again, he was still Herod. He still wanted to live like a Gentile, but can I build you something? Can I, whatever. So he built here. The Muslims built here. The Christians built here. Herod built here. But when you go down, Herod, why did he build here? Because in 1000 BC, we call it the Iron Age, someone was already built a wall around this, and they built a gate. This would be David and, more likely, Solomon building around this. And now you're going to get, and it's not on this map here, you're going to get two towers with a gate system coming into this. It's only like 2-3 blocks. It's not a big area. But there's a wall going around it at that time. And then we're going to go back to 2000 BC, and you're going to find in the exact middle of this place an altar with a blood channel running out through the walls that the walls over. An altar from 2000 BC. And then you're going to find bedrock, that is the, what would we say? The original earth. It's like the bedrock. It's you can't go, no one built below this because it's the surface of the earth. And in that bedrock, you're going to find a spring of water that has turned, you know, that they would tap into and bring water up, meaning it was a well-watered area, which would mean if there's well-watered area there, there's going to be trees. The trees are going to grow, their roots are going to hit that spring, and they're going to grow huge. And I'm going to ruin one of the punchlines. See on page 6, you see that black hole right there? That black hole, that's in the bedrock. No one dug that. That's not a well. No one dug anything there. That's a hole in the bedrock from a tree that grew out of the bedrock. And there's several of them in that bedrock that just grew out of the bedrock, and they would have been huge. It would have been a grove of oak trees that grew out of the bedrock, because in that bottom right corner, I'll give you more details, there's a well. That's where the spring of water is. So 2000 BC, now we're going back to the, you know, creation. You're going back to, you know, before Abram. There's a spring there. There's trees growing out. There's a well there. And this is where Abram decides, you know, I'm going to camp out here at Mamre. And the first time he's there, in chapter 13, when Lot goes one way and Abram comes the other way, Lot goes down here, and first thing he does, he builds an altar right here. Now, let's take a look at this. Now, with that information, let's flip back. How do we want to do this? I'll go back to page 7. And what you can see on this site right here, let's just go down. This is how they excavated it. So, I mean, this is not Christian propaganda. This is Islam. This is early church. This is Jewish. This is the Iron Age of David and Solomon, if that's who they are, if they even existed. But nonetheless, they're honoring a site that has an altar built 1,000 years before them that has trees growing out of the bedrock. So no one's lying here. No one's trying to pull the wool over. It's like everybody thought this is something. Now, when you look at it from the top down on page 7, I'm looking back at this one, I've got those things identified. First of all, let's go over to the right side, and at the top it says 20 BC, King Herod. There's the wall. There's a wall going around it, and you can go down to the bottom on the right side. It says King Herod again, 20 BC. And you see that wall. I've got two white lines going to that. So it's four-sided wall. It's a rectangle, and you can don't confuse it with the really white wall on the right side. The 20 BC wall is going around there, and you can see the square. Okay? Now with that, right below 20 BC at the top, it's 650 Islamic, and I'll show you a better picture, but like that wall and that wall that I've got a line drawn to, those are Islamic sites. Those are Islamic buildings, and we know because they had Islamic stuff there. The Muslims built some, they didn't build houses, they didn't build shops. It was a holy site that they honored. But they had to build over, right in the middle there on the right side, a church. So over here, if we were to say, here's Herod's wall right here. Here's some remains of buildings over here from Islam. I'll show you a better picture. But then there's this little thing, this little curve right there. Then there's some walls coming like this. This right here, no doubt about it, because they're all over Israel. I've seen them other places. This is an apse, A-P-S-E, that how you say it? That's that curved part of the front of a church, and it would be facing east. And so This right here is the remains of a Byzantine church. This would be from 326 BC. It matches what you see in the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. It matches what you see at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, what was there at one time. There's remains of it, the Nea Church, that's covered up by the southern wall of Jerusalem now. I looked around until I found this apse, this arch, right? I got pictures in my Jerusalem book, and the southern wall's built right over the top of it. And you can see the cornerstones. If this was Jerusalem, there's a southern wall of the city today is built right over the top, just like that. You can step on the inside. You got to go through this Armenian quarter, and you can find right here the remains of this part of the church. You can see the little curve. You can see I want to say benches, but it's not. It's just the surface of the area there. And then you go outside the wall, and you're just climbing around, looking through the weeds and stuff, and you see these huge stones sticking out from the bottom of the wall. I've got a picture of it on my wall at home, a big picture. And that's the Nea Church, the new church built by the Byzantines. And that looks just like this. So this is no doubt a church, just looking at it. But then again, the archaeologists were there excavating it. And so this is the church from 326. Okay, so that takes care of the things on the right side. Now, when you go to the bottom of the page, outside here, there's some part over here that was built up. This is from 1000 BC. Herod just cut through it, but this was something that was honored, and it goes all the way around on the outside of this structure. This was something that was built in Solomon, King Solomon's or King David's day. They honored this site. And that's, you can see that's got that mark there, and you can see it around the outside. Go over to the right side, and it says 1000 BC, David and Solomon. Right here, it's been built over, but in the early 1900s, when they were excavating it, you could see, and you guys know this. This makes sense. There's a tower here, and there's a tower base here, and these were fortifications for something that went around this wall that David had built. These were fortifications, just two chamber gates, a chamber here and a chamber here, and then you'd enter right here. This is a Iron Age gate, just like the Gate of Megiddo, Gate of Hazor, Gate of, Hazor, Megiddo, Gezer, where we had the sixth chamber gate built by Solomon. These appear to be built, I will say, around 1000 BC, most likely by Solomon, but it's only a two-chamber gate to go into here. And why do they want to go in there? And build a fence around it. They didn't go in there and build houses. And that is right there. And the earlier excavation drawings have that. And then where it says 2000 BC, Abram's altar is right here. There's an altar that you can, it's not built up, but you can see the stones, and it is an altar. Right here, it's all covered up with weeds. There's an altar right there with weeds growing up around it. But that's an altar. And then you can see on your picture, cutting through this, underneath all this, and the walls were built over it, there's a channel right there, like for water or something to run out. Not water, it's for blood. It's where they'd offer the sacrifice, and the blood would flow out this way. And you can see it. You can see it right there on that. The picture right there? Hold it like this. You can see there's to the little trough going right. I don't have it labeled, but just by the altar, right above, right below the white line, it runs out through that Herodian wall and through into David's territory there. And that is the altar that was not, it's not dated to 1000 BC of Solomon. It's nothing that was built. All these other things are built over it or around it. No one built on top of it, but they're all up here. This is in the center. Center of the 1000 BC, center of Herod's. A church is built right beside it. Muslims built all around this. This is dated from 2000 BC. And it's at Mamre where the Bible says Abram built an altar. And then, of course, you've got the, at the top left, you've got 2000 plus BC. I just meant, 2000, 3000, 4000. That's the original earth crust. That's the bedrock. That's what, the man who built his house on the rock, that's where you want to build your house on the rock. You're not going anywhere. And right there's one of the holes that is not, that's not a dug hole. That's not tapping down to get a well. That's a hole that naturally just got moved out of the way by a tree growing up, and there's several of them in there. That's the most obvious one, where trees used to live. And then in the bottom left corner, 2000 plus BC, that's a spring of water that today is a well. There's still water there, but it's been a well since before. That's why Abraham set right there. Now, if you look at that picture right there, you've got the altar that would have been there in chapter 18, verse 1. That well, that's why this is, all those trees are there, and that's a great place to put your tent. You've got shade, you've got water, you can check in and out, you got your flocks out there on the sides of the hills. Abram was right here. And all of a sudden, one day, the Lord appears to him. Where did that happen? It happened in this picture. I would guess it happened in this picture. That this, somewhere on this, the Lord appeared. Somewhere on here, they sat down, they had lunch. Abram lived here in chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 18. Isaac came back and lived here. Okay, here's some more things. Now that you know what we're talking about, go to page 6, 7. Go to page 8. There's another. I've just got Abram's well identified. Now, these are screenshots I took off these guys' video, okay? You can see the well. It's just another picture of the same thing. There, that bottom picture on page 8, that's where the oak tree would have grown out. That's grass just growing out of the bedrock right now. There's nothing there. It's just dirt that's filled in the hole. So that is where that would have been where one of the great trees of Mamre would have stood. Turn the page. Now we're looking, that first picture on the top of page 9, they're looking this way. I want to say I'm standing there, but I didn't take these pictures. They're looking at this corner where the well's at. Then they walk up to it and look down in it. You can see now the shaft, the second picture going down, and the very bottom picture, there's the black surface. Now, I actually cheated on that picture because the black had all kinds of trash and crap in it. So I just cut and pasted black over it and used some little touch of my tulip and just made it look like black water, okay? Because otherwise, you'd be looking at, like, looks like a trash can, and it just broke my heart, so I cleaned it up from West Des Moines. All right, turn the page. Page 10. Now, this is looking like this. You can see, if you get confused, you can find the asp of the church, the curve of the church. Can you find the curve of the church? So that church is right there at the top of the page. Again, you can see clearly Herod's wall going around, and then I've drawn a white line where the altar would have been. Again, it's just kind of a general drawing there. And again, notice to the right side, bottom right of that white box, that channel, that little trough going out, that's how you'd build an altar. It'd have to be someplace for the blood to go. They're not grilling steaks. They're not grilling animals on there. They're sacrificing animals. So when you cut an animal open, the blood, it's like you're going to have, and so the blood would flow out away from the altar. And so that is, and everything's built on top of that channel. So, I mean, it was there in, you know, 2000. It was one of the first things there. Because David's stuff is built over it. Herod's stuff is built over it. The next picture, page 11, you know what we're looking at there. There's the oak tree. So this would be good. You take out all that stuff. Take out David's wall. Pretend that's gone. Pretend Herod's wall is gone. Pretend the church is gone. Pretend any of those walls would be Islamic walls and stuff. All that stuff's gone. The only thing here would be a well that caused the trees to grow, the spring of water that's buried in the... See, it's not just a well. There's water in the earth. And the trees would have grown down, their roots had grown down and tapped into the spring of water. And a tree would have grown right up out of the bedrock. That's the oak tree. And Abram comes here in chapter 13 after separating from Lot, and builds an altar right there. So at that point right there, Abram comes in. There's already a spring. It's probably not a developed well. It could be a developed well. I'm not sure. But there's a spring of water. The trees are growing. It's called Mamre. It's outside of Hebron. He builds an altar right there. And that's all that's on the map in chapter, well, throughout Genesis. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 18. And in chapter 18, the Lord appears right there and talks to Abram. Page 13, I've got the altar marked again, and then that's the guy that does the expedition videos. That's him standing. I took that right off his video. He's standing. This is his picture. He circled the altar, and he's standing on the altar right there. And again, these guys, when you watch the video, you'll realize that, I mean, this is pretty solid evidence. This is interesting. I'm not sure if it will cover. Yeah, I think so. Turn to page 13. And this is, I've got a box that says 650 AD Islamic on the right side. And if you look up in the left corner, you can see it. Again, this is a screenshot of a video. So it's colored. You know, you can see the little computer lines drawn, the drawing program lines up in the top left corner. Those are Islamic walls over Christian walls in the top left. And that's Islam takes over. They're going to build over their Christian churches. Then on the left of that page, you can see those are all Byzantine. See the Byzantine church there? See the asp and the walls of the church? Then they've got buildings on the outside. And that's all built. That's all built. Their altar's still here, but they built all this up on this side as a Christian site, all honoring the altar of Abraham. And Islam just built over the Christians, honoring the altar of Abraham. And 13, 14, oh, good, hey, good, okay. Top picture on page 14, there's your blood channel right there. That's, you can see right there. That channel is running right off the page right here. And you can see it's running underneath Herod's wall. It's running underneath. So it's not it was already built when Herod comes in. It was already built when David comes in or Solomon comes in. That was already built, and it's attached to this altar right there. And then give you a perspective, the bottom picture is one of the guys in the video standing right here by this hole. It's a hole in the bedrock. It wasn't carved. It wasn't cut. A tree had grown out. It's clearly, everybody knows it's a tree, just grew up out of this bedrock. And there's other places beside. You see that man standing right there by that, and you get a perspective of how big that hole is. And you get when it says the trees of Mamre, the great trees of Mamre, the great oaks of Mamre, that's it right there. So I just saw that, and it's one of those things, you see it for myself. I see it and I think, why? I'm going to be 65 in 2 weeks. No, what is the day? Yeah, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. I'm going to be 65 years old, and I've read those verses. I've taught those verses. I've got maps, and it's like, I know the Tomb of the Patriarchs is there, but I didn't know this was here. I mean, did any of you? I mean, I don't want to like, just like, oh yeah, I've seen this. This is in all my Bible study books. I've never seen this before. I mean, and then there's still people out there that are saying, well, Abraham was a legend. These things are made up. It's like, it matches the Bible account. And then around 1000 BC, they honor it. So they thought it was true. The Jews of Jesus' day, King Herod, the Jews thought it was true, so he honors it. Well, the Christians, they know the Jews have got it. They're building on it. And, of course, Islam doesn't want to be outdone. They take it. It's our father. And so, and then you got bedrock from the beginning of time with an oak tree just growing out of it. So, I mean, you, in a sense, got your whole Bible story right there. And I just, you know, for me, that I watched the video, and it's like, well, I'll see what this is. It's like, And he just kept, and the guy knows what he's in archaeology. He's been all around the world. And then I looked at another one, said the same thing. So I just thought, we've talked about Mamre. And this first verse, chapter 20, verse 1, from there, Abram journeyed toward the territory of the Negev. It's like, I thought, well, here's my chance to squeeze it in and make it relevant for where we're at today. So Abraham is here. Sodom's been destroyed. We know where Sodom's at now. We know where Abraham's camped at. I mean, it's like, this is like happening, it's like World War I or World War II information. It's like, it's right here. We know more about this than we do the JFK files. Okay, I will pray, or the Epstein files. I will pray and you are free to go. I do appreciate you being here and, I know, letting me show you this. I'll pray. Father, do thank you for the opportunity to look into these things. We thank you for the evidence that you provided, but we also thank you that these things are historically real, that you are a true God, keeping your promises, that as sure as you appeared to Abraham, you are living in our lives. As surely as you talked to Abraham, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. What the Bible says is true about Abraham, it's true about us, and we're looking forward to the return of Christ. We just ask for your guidance and your protection at this time in history, that we may serve you and do the things you've called us to in a great way. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for being here. It's a privilege to get to talk to you.